If you will, Psalm 119, stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. Psalm 119, and we are currently on the Hebrew letter Lamed, verses 89 through 96, these eight verses. And as our custom kind of has become, we are reading all eight verses together, of Psalm 119, and beginning in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for they all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Once again, it is the wonderful word of God. And this is one of my one of the most delightful passages, because it begins with the steadfast surety of what God's word is. It is settled. Amen. And that's a blessing. We already talked about this a couple of weeks ago, actually three to be exact. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I do from time to time enjoy debating with these people that do not think that we have the preserved Word of God, because it's like I just try to take as many opportunities to throw as many punches as I can at them, because listen, if you can't tell me and flip to a page and say this is God's Word, and this is God's Word, and this is God's Word. And you go through your Bible and you say, well, this is God's word. And well, but this one might not be. How can you live like that? And how do you know which words are and which words aren't God's word? Well, you just have to. Well, why do I have to do anything? God's doing it for me. How can I know the mind of God? I'm not God. My ways are not his ways and my thoughts are not his thoughts. Right. I would have no clue. But you know what? To be able to rest in the fact that this is God's word, it is settled. I can just say, that's God's word. Oh, God said that. He meant that. He said this. He did this. This is, yes, all of it. Everything. It's God's word. And it's settled. Hey, because if it's settled, then I can be settled. If it's unsettled, then I'm unsettled. That's just how it goes. And I'm so glad that the statement is made by the psalmist, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad in verse 90 of God's faithfulness? That is to all generations. It should excite you. It should excite you that God's faithfulness is to all generations. You know why? Because that means us. Oh, he was faithful to Moses, right? He was faithful to Noah, and he was faithful to Abraham, and he was faithful to David, and he was faithful to the prophets and the children of Israel, and he was faithful to the apostles, and he was faithful to Paul and to Peter and to all these people. But he's also faithful to us. He's faithful to all generations. That should excite you. The things that God has established continue to this day. His word, his faithfulness, and the earth that he's created. Aren't you glad? Hey, aren't you glad you can take out your phone and you can look at the calendar, and this year it has 365 days, and next year it's going to have 365 days? Right? Let's see, 22. Yeah, not till 24. Then it has 366 days, right? Because we've got that quarter day to make up for. You can look at your time and you can see that it's a certain time, right? You can look up the app that has... I know most of you are staring at my flip phone. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I prefer to stay on the archaic land of the living. So we have times, we have seasons, things that we can count on. God's provided for that, that for us. These things that continue according to His ordinances. We have the faithfulness of God. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine afflictions. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened, has vivified me, brought me back from lifelessness into your life. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. All these encouragements, all these things that we can take as consolations in this desperate, wicked, dark world, God has provided for us. Aren't you glad you don't have to provide them for yourselves? Yeah, I'm glad. God, through His wonderful word, has given us stability. Now look at verse 95. Tonight we're going to be wrapping up this study on these 8 verses, and we'll move to the next Hebrew letter of the alphabet next week. But can I tell you tonight, just as David, in David's time, and just as he worked with this particular concept day after day, week after week, year after year, the same is true for us. Can I tell you something? This old world and that old dragon, the devil, are not for us. They are against us. They do not want us to succeed. They do not want us to further the kingdom of God. They do not want us to stand in our faith. And as we should, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. They don't want us singing the praises of our God. They don't want us showing to the generations to come the wonderful works of God. David says, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me. Hey, listen. Do not be fooled, folks. The devil is a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be not ignorant of his devices. Know what to expect with the devil. We need a plan. We need to be prepared. Right? Boy Scouts motto. Right, everybody? Be prepared. Right? Listen, I'm just telling you. We have got to be ready. They are waiting for you. Listen, some out there, as far as the world is concerned, as far as the devil is concerned, they're watching and waiting for you to take a misstep. They're waiting for you to stumble. They're waiting for you to falter. They're waiting for you, just like they waited for Daniel. Hey, listen, Daniel was faithful. He was faithful to his God. We know that as these Hebrew boys went into captivity, that they were faithful to God. Right off the bat, they were brought into the king's house. They were given a portion of the king's meat. And Daniel just said, hey, listen, I can't do this. I'm not going to defile myself with this portion of the king's meat. He said, listen, give us a chance. Give us some pulse to eat. All right, just give us something that we can eat according to the law of God that God has given to us, and just see, just give us an opportunity. And the guy's like, hey, listen, you do you understand that this is my life? Because if you look weak and sickly in front of the king, he's going to have my head. And Daniel's like, listen, just give us a chance. And what he was saying is, give our God a chance. Give our God a chance. And listen, they were watching. And he and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they proved it. They proved it right. You know, as they worked through their lives there under captivity, they had opportunity after opportunity to prove who they were. The children of God. And listen, time and time again, they proved to be faithful. And the world hated them. The princes hated them. They wanted to try and catch him in everything that they could. And you know the story. You know how they plotted against him. And they went to King Darius, and they or some people say Darius, however you want to say it. But they went to him. And they said, hey, yeah, they buttered them all up, you know, like you should do to a king if you want something. Right? Because that's what you do when you want something, right? Oh, you look really nice today. Oh, this is really... Anyways. And they buttered him all up, right? And they got him to pass a law for 30 days. Because they knew. They had been watching Daniel. Every day he'd open his windows and he'd pray. Same time, same place, same way. He did. And you know what? Daniel knew the law was made. He knew it was a trick. But they were watching. They were watching. Is he going to do it today? Law was passed. It means his life. I think they were staked out by the window. And they were waiting to see if he's going to open his window. If he's going to get down on his knees. If he's going to call out to his God. They were waiting, folks. They were watching. And can I tell you something? I think the world is watching. I think your coworkers are watching. I think your neighbors are watching. Listen, can you understand? If somebody wants to, oh, hello, Internet. If somebody wants to rob my house, I guess you know where I'm going to be. Come on now. But wouldn't it be a shame if my neighbors got to know me and on a Sunday morning at such and such time, they saw me walking out to my mailbox in my flip-flops and Bermuda shorts, which I have neither one of. You know what? To get the mail, hold my cup of coffee. Hey, it's 11 o'clock. Aren't you supposed to be preaching? Oh, I'm taking the day off today. But you're the preacher. You can't take the day off today. Well, everybody deserves a day off. I'm on vacation. You know, they're watching. They're watching. David said that the wicked have waited for me to destroy me. You know what his solution was? He said, but I will consider thy testimony. He said, I have a game plan. I'm going to fix the mind on. I'm going to view with careful examination. I'm going to think on with care. I'm going to ponder. I'm going to study. I'm going to meditate on thy commandments, on thy testimonies, on thy precepts. God, I'm going to focus on your wonderful word to avoid the snares of the wicked. God, you are going to be my focal point. I'm not going to be distracted by them. I'm not going to be focused on what they're doing. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to keep my faith where it needs to be. I'm going to stay right in line. I'm going to set and carefully ponder and study and meditate and think and examine and fix in my mind your word. That's how I'm going to make it through. That's how I'm going to survive. And listen, folks, in this day and time, the devil is throwing distraction after distraction after distraction after distraction at us. And we've got to stay focused on the wonderful word of God. Does not the Bible say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? Does not the Bible say, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee? It's often said, it's not a Bible verse, but a very good principle, that this word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's word. It will. We've got to stay true and consider his testimonies. God is faithful. God's word is true. Well, it's been established and settled forever. We can take refuge in it. And we must, if we're going to succeed. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Are you there in 1 Samuel chapter 12? Look at verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people,
Fear not,
ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are in vain, or they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people, for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. You know, of course, this is the portion of scripture where the people of Israel rebelled against God as their king. And they wanted a king like other countries had a king. And God gave them Saul. Yeah. he gave them what they asked for. But you know what? Samuel said, even though you've done this, if you'll serve the Lord, if you'll follow after him, he will preserve you. He will keep you. Hey, listen, did they have some victories? Oh, they did. They did. And listen, could they have sustained a good kingdom and remained in good standing with God? Oh, they could have. Did Saul have a chance to do that? He did. Did Samuel the prophet give them all the opportunities and all the instructions to be successful? Yes, but instead of considering the testimonies of God, Saul and the people considered themselves. Remember as they went out to utterly destroy the Amalekites? God said, utterly destroy them. Did they? No, they did not. Remember when Samuel was taking too long to get to the place of sacrifice? They went ahead and did the sacrifice. That wasn't Saul's place. He was king, not priest. He went against the testimonies of God. Oh, they had opportunities to be successful. But the wicked, they were waiting to destroy them, and they did because they would not cling. They would not consider. They would not fix on the mind to follow after God and his testimonies. In Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man, tells us, my son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Hey, listen, the wicked are out there. They're trying to ambush you. They're trying to snare you. Remove your foot from evil. Consider, ponder your path and your goings. Make sure that they are right on and that they are not going to the right hand or to the left, but straight down the path of God that he wants for your life. According to his testimonies, according to his precepts, according to his commandments, according to his word. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 96. Psalm 119, verse 96. I have seen an end of all perfection. I've seen an end of all perfection. What did the devil promise to Eve in the garden? Yeah. But what does she already have? She already had God's perfection. As Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. They were perfect in their creation. Without sin. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be glorious? But he tricked them into thinking there was something better. You know, God has given us all we need, and yet the devil keeps coming up with things that trying to trick us that there's something better out there. And there's not. David says, hey, I have seen an end of all perfection. He's like, I've witnessed things. Think about this. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, got to work under the service of a king that was head and shoulders above all those in Israel. I mean, physically speaking, if you will, Saul was the perfect king. He fit the part, right? In stature and in charisma, perhaps, and all these things. Wow, that's a king. That's a king. But his heart was not perfect toward the Lord. Remember that man looks on the outside. But God looks on the heart. God sees us on the inside. David was ruddy in his appearance, and he was not necessarily in stature like that of a king. But he had the heart of a king. And God saw what was inside. Samuel, of course, as he was going look for a new king, saw Jesse's sons, and certainly this is the king, and certainly this is the king, and certainly this is the king, and this is the king. No. Do you have any more sons? Even David, as he went out to face Goliath, the perfect soldier. Right? Oh, his armor and his muscles, his stature, his height. He's been a fighting man from his youth. That's what a soldier should be. No mercy. Rough and tough. Defying the armies of the living God. Little shepherd boy. 5 little stones and a sling. You know, in David's life, he had a son, Absalom. Should have been the heir to the throne. Turned against him. You see, David had seen all kinds of things come across his life. And he said simply, I've seen an end of all perfection. He's like, there's nothing in this earth that can compare to God. Can I tell you the same is true today? Hey, listen. There is a religion that's prevalent in our society. You may not even be aware of it, but it's everywhere. It's called humanism. You know where it started? Genesis 3. And ye shall be as God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It has permeated our world today. Men think that they're perfect. Or they can be perfect. But you know what? Nothing can be further from the truth. He is infinite. We are finite. God and His ways are perfection. Jeremiah chapter 9. The Bible says, speak. Thus saith the Lord. Even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field. And as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. So we shouldn't be glorying in things of the flesh, because God alone is to receive the glory. God alone is perfect and holy and just and righteous. Solomon, in all his wisdom, understood that these things were all vanity. The life under heaven, he said, was vanity. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. You understand that perfection is not something we can attain to. God alone has reserved that for himself. But do you understand, one day, through the righteousness of Christ, we shall see perfection. For that mortal shall put on immortality. We shall have a new body and a new home in heaven. Not because of our own merits and our own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ. David said, I have seen an end of all perfection. But thy commandment is exceeding broad. You know what he's saying, basically? That, hey, nothing in this earth can satisfy, can meet the requirements of perfection. But your word covers it. Your word does. Remember what he said at the very beginning? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But thy commandment is exceeding broad. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. God's commandment is a thing that covers, if you will, the imperfections of our lives. If we will live by his commandments, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How can a man be made perfect? Through the word of God. By giving heed to the word of God. Remember that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If we go our own way, if we follow our own knowledge, if we follow our own wisdom, we will certainly fail. But if we, through the word of God, bridge the gap unto perfection, it is only by his word we can be successful in doing so. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. And the small rain upon the tender herb, and the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. In 2 Samuel it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power. And he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teaches my hands to war, and so that the bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, And thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. How is it that we can attain to perfection? David said, I've seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. You know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Ephesians chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we are all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we attain to the fullness of Christ through the Word of God, we can see perfection, because His commandment is exceeding broad. You know what's wide, extensive, vast, and comprehensive? The wonderful Word of God. You know what bridges the gap to perfection for us? The wonderful Word of God. It's the only thing. It is. We cannot come there on our own. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Take your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, if you would. The Word of God is exceeding. It's extensive. It's vast. It's comprehensive. It bridges the gap to perfection for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Remember this verse? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any of the creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's exceeding. It's comprehensive. It's vast and extensive. The wonderful Word of God. You know, God loved us so much that He gave us His Son. God loved us so much He gave us His Spirit. God loved us so much He gave us His Word. Because He loves us. And He wants us to reach that completion, that perfection through Him. It's the only way we can attain to it. We cannot attain to it in the flesh, only in the Spirit, through God's Word. It's exceeding broad. It's exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. As Moses was trying to help the children of Israel understand that God was their only hope, that God and His Word was the only way to be successful. He said in chapter 32, verses 1 through 4, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He." In Psalm 18, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. Once again, turn to Psalm 19. You probably have this memorized by now, and if not, maybe we'll just all sing together to close out the service tonight. You know this is one of my favorite scripture songs. And if you don't know that, now you do. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. To me, this kind of sums up this thing of, "I have seen the end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad." And honestly and truly, this ending statement of the psalmist kind of reverberates the beginning statement of, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Folks, it's the wonderful word of God. I hope you want it more today than you did 10 months ago. And maybe, probably closer. Close to that. Do you? Is it wonderful to you? Has it become more wonderful to you as we've studied through? Have you gotten closer? Hey, maybe as you go through the weeks in your bulletin, are you getting closer to keeping on track with your Bible reading? And listen, if you didn't choose to follow one of these methods that I published out there for you, maybe you have your own, and that's just fine. But how you doing? How you doing? Is that fire growing within you? Are you drawing closer to the perfection that God wants for us through His Word? His Word is settled. The question is, are we settled with it?